A sprawling metropolis of steel that reaches towards the clouds houses a wealth of vice and corruption beneath its sparkling edifice. Here, all the luxuries of the multiverse can be found, from sleepy, smoky bars to lively speakeasies and dance halls. Here, bargains can be struck to acquire illicit material and silence opposition. Here, unlimited opportunity is within reach, but always beneath organized crime's oppressive shadow. Welcome to New Capenna. New Capenna is a technological and architectural marvel that stands in solitude on the horizon of an unknown and otherwise desolate plain. Encapsulated by a mystical barrier that offers protection and a temperate environment, New Capenna is all that remains of a world forever scarred by a forgotten threat. Though Capenna is but a city, it contains all the cultures, peoples, and desires of its plain. Parallels can be drawn between it and Ravnica, another metropolitan hub within the multiverse, for their level of dense urbanization. The latter, however, expands across and consumes the entire plain. The realm of Ravnica is one giant city. Capenna is massive, but the city isn't the plain, and much space, if not much civilization, exists beyond its glistening walls. Two words instantly spring to the traveler's mind who happens upon New Capenna: technology and verticality. The city is one of the most technologically advanced locations in the multiverse, on par with the likes of Kaladesh and current-day Kamigawa. Train and subway stations wind through the maze of skyscrapers. Getaway cars screech down city streets, and family agents use all manner of innovative tools to complete their missions. Though a formal government exists, its officials and bureaucrats are puppets. New Capenna's true power lies in the hands of five criminal families, each vying for influence and control of the city. Long ago, Capenna and its plain were once ruled by various kingdoms and advised by an angelic host. Peace was maintained throughout the land and nature flourished. But then the Phyrexians, metallic and grotesque abominations from another plane, bent on conquest, invaded Capenna's home. Thousands were slaughtered, displaced, or converted to join the Phyrexian war machine, and the plane faced imminent collapse. The angels protected the plane with all their might, but Phyrexia devastated much of the land in a relentless advance across the known world. In desperation, angels turned to their demonic counterparts, creatures they had been fighting since their creation, for assistance. Archangels and demon lords agreed to lock arms and confront the Phyrexians together. While many maintained a rear guard for fleeing refugees, the angels created one last bastion of freedom and defense against the metallic threat. They built the city of New Capenna upon the remains of Old Capenna, a beacon and haven for those who hadn't already lost their lives. The angels then strengthened the city's protection with a mystical barrier that encased newly erected structures. Demon lords turned towards the citizenry and brokered a deal with the leaders of five groups to steward this new city. The charter conferred immense power and the status of demon onto each signatory. These leaders would become New Capenna's criminal bosses. Thousands flocked to New Capenna as Phyrexia continued to consume the rest of the plain. But just as hope had been renewed with New Capenna's founding, the demon lords turned against the archangels, expelling many from the city and locking those that remained in magical stasis, from which they siphoned their angelic essence to create the substance Halo. Halo proved useful against the Phyrexians, and the demon lords used it to annihilate the invasion force before themselves disappearing. With no presence to advise them, the plain survivors turned toward the five leaders for guidance in this new and uncertain reality. Over time, these organizations became warped and turned into criminal families that ran the city from the shadows, the demonic contract ensuring tentative cooperation and that no one family would rise above the others. These families took on the name Maestros, Cabaretti, Brokers, Obscura, and Riveteers. The metropolis of Capenna grew as the rest of the plain died off. Pockets of remaining Phyrexians patrol the wastes and prey upon bands of wandering survivors beyond the city's protective barrier. Their struggle forgotten, their angelic protectors lost to time. New Capenna moved on from the brink of collapse and built a stunning city full of marvel. But the angel's presence isn't completely lost. Halo remains a powerful substance siphoned from those angelic statues locked in stasis. It's coveted by all for its physical, mental, and magical effects. The substance itself is often used as currency, and the crime families are in constant battle with another over its supply. The card Halo Fountain illustrates a blossoming reservoir of the substance, likely within one of the Cabaretti family's many festive halls, while the flavor text of Stranglehold hints at the true value of this precious resource and states, "Control the Halo, and you control the whole city." Capenna's most impressive feature is its skyline, a unique blend of architectural and artificial genius that reaches ever skyward to make room for the new. Tall skyscrapers stand domineering over the horizon, and various sections of the city are built atop one another, stratifying much of Capenna's districts into vertical zones in which one can easily lose themselves. There are three large sections of the city that begin with its foundations, then slowly work their way up towards sunlight, clean air, and a park-like atmosphere reserved for the wealthy. We'll begin with the lowest layer, known as the Caldaia. New Capenna is built atop the rubble and skeletal remains of the old city, where its foundational roots merge with those of its mysterious predecessor. From here, massive steel beams, struts, and girders launch themselves up to support the expanding city above. The Caldaia is home to the steelworkers, smiths, and laborers who tend Capenna's billowing forges, erect massive superstructures, and toil daily on the back-breaking tasks few others could stomach. This is the most industrialized zone of the city, where sulfuric fumes hang in the air, and molten slag is carved up to be used in various city projects. The Caldaia shares many characteristics with the bustling American metropolis of Chicago during peak industrialization. Cards like Plasma Jockey and Pyre Sledge Arsonist showcase the grueling work endured by many Capennans within the Caldaia's stifling forges. The metal underbelly of Capenna is more than an industrial factory. The Caldaia's extensive network of steel girders, shadowed alleys, and myriad side streets afford a haven for criminal activity. All five of the criminal families send agents to the lowest levels of the city to fight turf battles, engage in subterfuge and extortion, or carry out dangerous assassinations. The flavor text of the card Bootlegger Stash illustrates Caldaia's usefulness for illicit activity. It reads, "Labyrinths of tunnels beneath the streets of the Caldaia offer an ample array of discreet routes for enterprising smugglers." Beyond industry, this part of the city also produces much of Capenna's supply of Halo, the mystical substance highly sought after by all for its uses in magic, healing, and creation. The Riveteers criminal organization has a particularly strong presence within the Caldaia. Leaving the smog-filled streets of the Caldaia below, and one happens upon the second layer of New Capenna, the Mezzio. This tier injects the much-needed culture and luxury that the Caldaia lacks. The Mezzio is filled with shops, restaurants, bazaars, dance halls, and art galleries. Many Capennans flood the streets seeking pleasures while peddlers hawk their wares above the noise of the throng. The art and flavor text of the card Glittermonger highlights the atmosphere of this tier of the city. It shows an elf selling materials and reads, "Street corners in the Mezzio are a tantalizing bazaar of the fantastic, the illicit, and the fake." The Mezzio is reminiscent of downtown Manhattan in New York City, and it stands as the beating heart of New Capenna, connecting residents to the city's furthest reaches through the transit hub found in Mezzio Station. This area contains various speakeasies and dance halls, where raucous festivities carry on through the early morning hours. Those with a more refined palate give patronage to the wine and Halo bars, and purchase exquisite art or artifacts from various collectors. Though Mezzio life is more cultured than that of the Caldaia, its residents are barred from the final tier of the city, where glamour and wanton excess are reserved for society's cultural elite, the Park Heights. Stunning vistas, well-manicured promenades, and refined evenings with New Capenna's Nouveau Riche are but three of the amenities offered by the Park Heights, where the elite flaunt their wealth and enjoy the best of the city. Stylized after the glamorous Hollywood and Los Angeles, the Park Heights is the beautiful crown of New Capenna that has left behind the metalworks of the Caldaia for clean air and open skies. Merchants sell the most exclusive glasswork, textiles, and foods, and several notable museums or collections dot the green walkways. Here, one can forget life's worries, if at least for a time. But a refined atmosphere doesn't mean one free from crime, and several seedy deals occur under tables or behind park alleys. Park Heights is also not free from turf wars between the five criminal families, albeit their assassinations, sabotage, and recruitments are carried out with more taste intact. Xander of the Maestros runs both his family and his collection within the most extensive museum in the city, where he's gathered many relics of Capenna's past. The Cloud Spire reaches towards the sky and allows Rafine of the Obscura an unobscured view of the entire city from where the Sphinx plots and plans. Park Heights' gaudiness is on display in the Art of the Card Angelic Observer, in which we can see myriad gilded roofs and buildings often decorated with angelic statues. And the flavor text of Midnight Assassin gives us a glimpse into the daily happenings of this district. It reads, "The broad avenues and graceful spires of Park Heights are the playground of the affluent. After night, they also make a fine hunting ground." The Park Heights is the lavish jewel of the city, where both ostentatious parties and bloody contract killings transpire within the same block. With the city streets thoroughly charted, we must now delve into the five criminal families that control them, beginning with the Obscura. The Obscura family are masters of intelligence, espionage, subterfuge, and mental magic, led by the Sphinx demon Rafine, who surveys all of New Capenna from his aptly named Sanctum of Cloudspire. Obscura are aligned with white, blue, and black mana, which manifests as a need for control through knowledge and utter disregard for the consequences in its acquisition. We can see their skill on display in cards like Rafine's Informant and Case the Joint, which highlight Obscura's use of magical technology to gather information for snatch and grabs or assassinations. In the days of old Capenna, the Obscura were mystics and wizards employed as advisors to kings and even angels. Obscura are no less masters of information in the glamorous streets of New Capenna, spreading propaganda and disinformation, blackmailing, extorting, and otherwise trading in secrets. We see this in the crime family's connive mechanic, representing their ability to gather knowledge and sift through the rumors until they discover a hidden gem. Obscura have within their ranks cephalids, octopus-like humanoids that act as advisors and consultants seen in cards like Obscura Interceptor and Quasar, Augur of Agonies. Sphinxes are also drawn to Obscura due to their natural proclivity for gathering knowledge, trading in secrets, and solving riddles. Though the Obscura are officially headquartered within the Interfactorium, their agents can be found embedded within other families and nestled in the darkest alleyways to deal in the commodity of information. The Cabaretti's hedonism and raucous festivities stand in stark contrast to the Obscura's cold subtlety. Cabaretti are the life of the party and always interested in throwing one. Their bars and dance clubs are known throughout Capenna for their miraculous pomp and splendor, which we can see highlighted in the card Cabaretti Courtyard and in the flavor text of Cabaretti Ascendancy, which reads, "Whatever you're looking for, food, family, halo, we've got the best in town." This white, green, and red aligned family is headed by the cat demon Jetmir, who oversees their clubs from within his own extensive Vantoleon. In ages past, the Cabaretti were members of a druidic faith that connected with nature through ritualistic festivals to fuel their spells, nurture growth, and heal wounds. Nature in the wilds grew scarce within the new city as Phyrexia advanced across the plain, so the Cabaretti increased their festivities to maintain what little connection they had with the natural world. They are now seen as sinful revelers, interested only in the exhilaration of celebration, but to take the Cabaretti at face value would seriously underestimate their influence and clout. They often perform favors or throw parties for officials or other members of government, usually without consent, in order to gather debt and force repayment at a later, more convenient date. Their dubious nature is seen in the art and flavor text of Jetmir's Fixer, which shows a Cabaretti agent sent to destroy someone who went against the family and reads, "When you lose Jetmir's trust, his family makes sure you lose everything else." The Cabaretti have among their members many elves and Leonin, or cat-like humanoid creatures, seen in cards like Attended Socialite and Kit Kanto, Mayhem Diva. Life without luxury isn't worth living, at least not for the Maestros crime family. The Maestros are purveyors of all things artistic and liberating, collectors of culture, history, and craft. They indulge themselves in the finer things and consider themselves New Capenna's elite. Headed by the vampire demon Xander in the Maestro's Museum, they are a family of substance and class. Beyond mere collection, the Maestros continually refine their skills in what they consider the most exhilarating art of all, assassination. Members of this family are experts at bloodletting, making an example out of an enemy, or making them disappear without a trace, which we can see in cards like Incriminate and Tainted Indulgence. Death is the purest form of expression, and Maestros use all the tools in their palette to create stunning and bloody masterpieces without concern or remorse for whomever stands in their way. This is highlighted in the family's casualty ability, where innocents are caught in the crossfire and sacrificed to produce spectacular finishes. In Old Capenna, the Maestros were members of the nobility and ruling elite. They acted as patrons of the arts, a sentiment that they share today. The Maestros collected history and culture when the old world collapsed, and much of what remains of that forgotten age is locked within Maestro museums or personal collections. We can see their opulent desires in Maestro ascendancy. The majority of maestros are vampires and possess supernatural abilities that assist them in carrying out their heinous crimes. But ogres and humans are also common in their ranks. Those with a refined arrogance and penchant for murder fit well in the cultural elite of the exclusive maestros. Next comes a family whose green, blue, and white color alignment doesn't lend itself to the traditional sense of a criminal organization. The Brokers act as New Capenna's legal consultants and navigators of legislation, led by the Aven demon Falco Sparra from Nido Sanctuary. The Brokers were once paladins and protectors of Old Capenna, offering their dutiful services to villages, passers-by, and even kingdoms to ensure peace throughout the realms. With the formation of New Capenna, their sense of duty remained, but their intentions warped into those of a more dubious nature. Now, the Brokers run the most widespread protection racket in the city, offering their legal and financial aid to strong-arm victims into debt and extort payments for services rendered. Their ability to generate protective shield counters and manipulate other types of counters highlights the Brokers' benevolence. Though they prefer the legally binding magic of hieromancy to enforce settlements, this family is not above making an example of a client in default with a demonstration of physical brutality. Many of their contracts have stipulations within the fine print that erase the signatory's memory, which proves beneficial for planting sleeper agents within the four other families. While they visibly espouse protection and the well-being of all, the Brokers are secretly a doomsday cult that prophesizes the fall of New Capenna once the ever-dwindling supplies of Halo finally run dry. They manipulate supply and demand of the substance to mitigate disaster and quietly prepare themselves for when the end of days approaches. Members of the final crime family can be found within the billowing forges of New Capenna's industrial underbelly. The Riveteers are an organization of metalworkers, architects, smiths, and demolition specialists at home in the Kaldaya layer and under the guidance of the dragon Dima Ziotora. Much akin to a workers' union or guild, the Riveteers offer protection to blue-collar laborers and use their collective might to direct the change they wish to see. They're responsible for the city's public works projects and expansions, and the flavor text of the card Riveteer's Ascendancy highlights the importance of their work. It reads, "We are this city, down to its bones." The black, red, and green aligned family is about sweat and gusto, preferring physical work and the satisfaction that comes with a hard day. But they are just as easily amused with destruction as construction, and their creative passion drives Riveteers to demolish skyscrapers and raise entire city blocks to make way for the new of New Capenna. Riveteers' reckless actions are highlighted in their signature blitz mechanic, which allows them to hit out of nowhere, but showcases their lack of foresight. The family's roots derive from master artisans and architects of Old Capenna that would peddle precious wares and construct masterful edifices. When off the clock, the Riveteers enjoy shows of strength and crowds gather around illicit fight clubs or boxing rings to witness the family's prize fighters. We see this in cards like Ziator's Proving Ground and Boxing Ring. Riveteers swell with ranks of ogres in Viashino, or dragon-like humanoids whose raw power and fiery temper perfectly complement that of their boss. Their influence is most felt in the forges, but Riveteers frequently engage in turf wars with other families in the Mezio and beyond. Though New Capenna has maintained a delicate equilibrium for many years, the arrival of extraplanar players threatens to uproot balance and reduce the crime families to ash. Chief among them is the demonic instigator Omnixilis, who seeks to gain absolute control over the city by toppling the leaders of each of the five families. Since demons hold a powerful place in the mythos of Capenna, Nixilis easily finds willing henchmen to infiltrate the crime families and carry out his assassinations so that he may usurp power in New Capenna. But he's not the only planeswalker to arrive on the plane. Omnixilis is joined by the huntress Vivian Reed and the knightly Elspeth Terrell. The plane that holds New Capenna is of special significance for Terrell. It was her home, where she was captured and tortured by Phyrexians traveling the wastes outside the city, before her spark ignited and set her on her path. Elspeth returns to her home plane in search of Phyrexian secrets and how the denizens of Capenna defeated their past invasion, hoping to use the valuable information in her own crusade against New Phyrexia. Capenna's victory seems tied to the mystical effects of Angelic Halo. To this end, she plumbs the famous archives of the Maestros and pores over ancient tomes. But Elspeth's not the only one digging up Phyrexia's past. Urobrask, the red-aligned praetor of New Phyrexia, has also come to Capenna through the use of planar portal technology. Here, the Praetor of Creativity and Individualism seeks to overthrow Elish Norn's machine orthodoxy on New Phyrexia and depose the white-aligned Praetor. Halo and Elspeth could be the key to success. The arrival of Planeswalkers and Phyrexians and the diminishing supply of Halo roils Capenna from the underground streets to the spires of Park Heights, a froth that is further intensified by the return of New Capenna's angelic host. All around, angelic statues frozen in space and time have begun to shatter, freeing these winged saviors from their stasis prison. We see this unfold in cards like Sanctuary Warden and Majestic Metamorphosis. The return of old Capenna's guardians, the attempted overthrow of the demonic crime families, and the arrival of new Phyrexians spark a conflagration that is poised to consume all of Capenna and burn the current order to the ground. It's unclear who will stand on top when the ash settles. New Capenna, a city that encapsulates the glamorous world of opportunity and extravagance, but belies a grim underbelly rampant with illicit dealings and dubious organizations. Here, crime is king, and access to the increasingly valuable Halo drives competition, cooperation, and conflict to new heights. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this video on the plane of New Capenna Explained. Now I want to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts on the city, which family you'd seek membership with, as well as suggestions for future videos in the comments below. And if you're a fan of lore and storytelling, consider subscribing to the channel or checking out the podcast where content's uploaded frequently. Again, a huge shout out to all of my Patreon supporters who make all of this possible. I couldn't do it without their spectacular patronage. If you're interested in becoming a lore luminary for access to me, a great community, scripts, and early video drops, check out the link below or head to patreon.com/thelorebrarians to learn more. Special thanks to script editor Kenan Orhan. Until next time, go forth and explore the lore.